Today's program is brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, third-generation cure masters producing the country's best dry-cured and aged hams, bacon, and sausage. For more information, visit edwardsvaham.com.
I'm Damon Bolte, host of The Speakeasy. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, America. I'm Chad Pagano. I'm a former Army sniper, a chef instructor at the Institute of Culinary Education, and an avid lifelong hunter. And you're listening to The Wild Game Domain from the Hunt to the Hearth, airing live on heritageradionetwork.org. Okay, so if you've been listening to the show, maybe you kind of get my personality. I'm a kind of just living my life. Floating through life. Don't really analyze a lot. You know, I think I'm a good person. I do the right thing most of the time. I try to be aware of my surroundings and be polite to people. And then, you know, it's funny. Every once in a while, I sit down and I get a moment in my busy life to kind of reflect. A lot of times, that's in the tree stand when I'm kind of just sitting there enjoying the outdoors. I'll kind of think back to stories and kind of reflect and then say, you know, I think, wow, you're really maturing as a person now that you're 40, 45 years old. And I started thinking about that and how it relates to hunting and then, you know, other cultures or other religions and how they look at their, you know, just their personal kind of enlightenment or how they go through life. And, you know, we know the Buddhists have a very formal kind of four stages of enlightenment that are measured and can be found. And they aspire to get through these four stages in enlightenment. And so I started looking into it a little bit, and it's actually measurable for the outdoorsman or the hunter. There's a bunch of scientists from Wisconsin University, who actually measured it. They interviewed 1,000 hunters about their journey in the hunting world, about their enlightenment, how it's progressed from the time they first stepped into the woods to where they are in their life now. And these guys came up. It was very interesting to me because, again, I'm not the kind of guy who sits around reflecting on where I am. I'll give you my opinion, you know, and 100 times I've said to guys in my club or guys I run into at the diner, other hunters, yeah, it's not even about killing the animals anymore. You know, it's kind of the journey. It's about being out there. It's about doing my laundry and packing my bags and driving to my hunting property. And, you know, the whole process is really what it's about for me, and sitting there and seeing nature. You know, I sat out there the other day and this little button buck came in. I heard some crashing behind me earlier in the day. And I said, all right, well, I don't really have any shooting lanes behind me. It's like I have a 180-degree shooting area for archery hunting in this one tree stand I'm in. I'm in this big spruce, and I kind of cut away the spruce on one side, and I'm up there 20 feet in the air. So I said, you know what? No point even getting up. If there's something back there, I can't shoot it until it gets in front of me anyhow. And finally, I was hearing something, and then it started sounding like a squirrel. And I said, it's probably just a squirrel hopping around in the leaves. And eventually, I decided, you know what, stand up and turn around. And I stood up, turned around, and not 3 feet away from my tree was a what I thought was a doe, a female deer standing there. And so I said, oh shit, look at that right there, huh? How long that, you know, it's probably been an hour that deer's been hanging out, not 5 feet from me. And so I'm looking at the deer, and now I'm kind of reaching slowly for my bow, and I'm going to shoot a doe if I have the chance. If it takes 10 more steps, I have it. And then I start noticing, wow, it's not even really a doe. It's a button buck. This is a young, you know, yearling buck. Male deer. And I noticed, you know, it was like God shined down on me. He was like, no, idiot, don't shoot this deer. This is a young male deer. Look, and kind of, you know, you're looking through the spruce and then the leaves and, the, you know, these deer even at 10 feet away blend in like you can't believe. And like there was this clearing. I couldn't even make out the whole body, but there was this one little clearing, and he moved his head into it and exposed the top of his head, like in direct line, in a direct visual line to me. And I saw the two little nubs on the top of its head. And at that point, it just decided to bed down right there under my tree and take a little rest. So I broke out the iPhone. I was snapping pictures. I did a video of it, and I was laughing. And so it was a really great moment. And I realized that's all I needed. I didn't need to kill an animal that day. You know, I said, this is all I need. How many people get to watch nature evolve like this and just kind of play out right in front of you? And it was funny. At one point, a blue jay came screeching in and landed in the branch above him. So now it's me. About 10 feet below me is the blue jay screeching, and then this deer just relaxing underneath. Didn't care. Blue jay, I've seen them 1,000 times. Not going to bother me. Eventually, the deer gotten up and meandered off, and then we'll get back to that story in a minute because it gets interesting later on in the day. But you know, this really got me interested. I said, wow, what, you know, you've really progressed. When I started hunting, that would have frustrated me. That would have bothered me. I would have had to fight the urge not to kill that animal. It's a legal animal. You could shoot it. That you use a doe permit on that. It's an antler less than 1 inch. You would tag it as a doe. And I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't begrudge anybody for shooting that animal either. That's good tender meat, man. That's going to be good eating venison. But for me, in my progression as a hunter, I've moved beyond that. So I started researching it. And like I said, these hunters from, scientists from the University of Wisconsin came up with this way of measuring it. And basically what they did, they interviewed 1,000 deer hunters. And they concluded that America's deer hunters, you know, North American hunters, deer hunters specifically, pass through 5 stages in their lifetime in what they call a deer hunting journey. And I found that really interesting because I said, what are the chances that I've passed through any of them, you know? And I started looking at them, and they are as follows. The first one is the shooter stage, and that's where you begin. That's the hunter, first time out in the woods, you know, young hunter, and they claim no one gets past what they call the shooter stage until you've actually harvested a deer. You know, we need as hunters to have some success to be able to kind of master this level of enlightenment, we'll call it, the first stage, this shooter stage. And we're going to go back to it. I want to outline them right now, and then we'll go back through them, and I'll kind of talk about my journey through these stages. Two is called the limiting out stage. And from this stage, most hunters, you know, they progress out of stage one, the shooter stage, and they get into this stage. And it's, you know, the hunter's goal in this stage to harvest as many animals as they legally can. At this point in their career, they want to complete the act of hunting, which is the harvesting of the animal. So they try to max out what we call our tags. You might have, depending on where you hunt, you know, at least 2 deer tags, maybe 3, maybe 4, depending on the firearms. You know, and if you hunt out on Long Island, you could have up. I've had 8 tags in my pocket at some point. Never filled 8 in the season. But in stage 2, you want to try to limit out, use all of your tags. Stage 3 is called the trophy stage. And in this stage, the hunter has kind of matured to a point where his knowledge of the deer, of actual hunting, you know, the tricks of the trade, as we'll call them, allows him to be more selective in his hunt. Where, you know, in stage 1, the shooter stage, first thing with 4 legs, we have a saying in the shooter stage called, if it's brown, it's down. It has 4 legs and it's a deer, it's getting shot. But in the trophy stage, you know, bigger antlers are what we're looking for. We're looking for a more mature deer. We're kind of becoming stewards of the whitetail, what do you want to call it? The resource of the white-tailed deer. And this begins to take center stage where the story I was just telling you, I don't shoot button bucks. That deer is going to walk by me every day, and I'm not going to shoot that. If I was in stage 1, that's a dead deer at the end of the day. Stage 4, the method stage. By the time you reach stage 4, these scientists have determined the hunter is kind of mellowing out at this point in its hunting journey, you know, he's hunted many seasons by this point. And he begins to kind of think more deeply about the hunts. What are we accomplishing? What are we representing? You start thinking more about, you know, spreading the word, kind of what I do on this show, kind of trying to motivate people to get out and become part of this lifestyle. You have a very good understanding in stage four of the deer behavior. And that really becomes, you know, paramount in this stage. You know, it's more about observing the deer and becoming an ambassador to deer hunters in stage four. And then stage five, the final one, is the what they call the sportsman stage. And by the time a hunter hits this stage, he knows who he is. Now, he's done it. He's the pro. He's the grizzled veteran of the woods. He knows deer behavior. He has killed many deer over the years. He's become involved in the preservation of hunting, and he makes an effort to see that hunting is passed on to the next generation through his loved ones, his kids, you know, friends. At this point, many deer hunters hit a point where they want to manage their own properties. You know, they want their own area to go to. They want to try to set up this deer hunting utopia. They're looking for utopia in stage five. Through all five stages, you know, you could freeze at any point. Hunters are stuck, and there's nothing wrong with that. You just haven't reached full enlightenment as far as stage five. It's not a bad or good thing. It's just where you are, maybe, or maybe you're still progressing through that journey. As a 45-year-old who's been hunting since I was, you know, or at least being in the woods since I was 8 years old, I think I've reached stage five. I have reached full enlightenment as a hunter. I'm not concerned. The least of my worries is putting a notch on the cabin door and saying I got another deer at the end of the day. Listen, I like to fill my freezer like any other hunter, and I shoot the young does. I'll shoot pretty much, you know, these little ratty bucks at the beginning of the year during early archery, get the freezer filled. But then I kind of jump right back into stage five. Now I'm there now. I'm not hunting the next 4 days. It's okay. I did my laundry, my hunting clothes the other day. I packed my bag, got my car ready. I know I'm going to be out there Wednesday again enjoying the day. I see other guys, even friends I hunt with, they're not progressed this far. I could see the tension. I have a friend of mine, he's got a doe down so far this season. And he is paranoid that he is missing the rut. And you could see he's aggravated. And I remember being there through that time, being stressed about the where I was in the hunting season. And it's kind of funny to watch now. And it's funny because I know I'm in stage five because I'm trying to help people. I'm trying to get them past that. It's okay. So you got a doe down. You're good. You got some venison in the freezer. You're enjoying life. You're out there hunting. You're in your tree stand. I think when these guys get past that is when maybe your first real successful or big season, you down three deer, you get that trophy buck. I'll be honest with you, I've shot some pretty nice deer over the years. None of them were records. None of my bucks were, you know, in the record books. And I'm okay with that. I've shot some nice trophies, some wall hangers. For me, everything is a trophy. That buck I shot this year, the ratty seven pointer, that's a trophy. That story lives on with me forever. I will tell that story within 15. Go back, listen to the show, 15 minutes of being in a tree stand. The whole thing, the rain, my wife messed it up. That is a trophy. I don't need it to be big. I don't need it to have a certain amount of points. I don't need it to have a drop time and all these things that guys are out there looking for. Those things are nice. I'm not going to pass it up. The other thing that puts me in stage five is my ability to realize that when I miss a deer, it's not the end of the world. I missed a deer recently, a very nice deer, in my mind at least, and they're always bigger when you're up in the tree stand, but I missed him. It was a chip shot, 20 yards, broadside. I shot under him, and, you know, my first thought was, shit, that would have been great going back there. All the guys would have been jealous. I would have had more venison. I had this trophy. But then my second thought within 5 seconds of missing was, oh, thank God I didn't wound that deer. Thank God I didn't take that bad shot and hit it somewhere where it's going to suffer and die needlessly, just bleeding out somewhere in the woods where I can't find it. So, you know, that's a sign that I have reached stage five. And I think as if you're a hunter, you know, keeping in mind these stages will help you frame out your kind of your journey. I wouldn't say you have to aspire to get to the next stage. You don't really have to, but it's a nice thing when you finally hit it. It happens naturally, or at least it happened naturally to me. I didn't aspire to move from stage one to stage two. It just fell into place for me. And it's a natural progression. If you stick with hunting and have a love, a passion for it, it's going to happen. All right. Let's take a short break here, and we'll be right back with the Wild Game Domain on heritageradionetwork.org. Cruise.
The following program is brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons. Edwards Suriano hams are aged to perfection for no less than 400 days and hickory smoked to achieve a deep mahogany color. The Edwards name is well known for its world-class aged and cured meats. Their exclusive curing and aging recipe produces a unique flavor profile that enhances the quality characteristics of Berkshire pork. Optimum amounts of pure white fat marbling contribute to a flavor that's a delicate, perfect balance between sweet and salty. For more information, visit edwardsvaham.com.
Hey, welcome back. I'm your host, Chad Pagano, and you're listening to the Wild Game Domain on heritageradionetwork.org. All right, let's break down my journey. Stage one, the shooter stage. When can I pinpoint where that stage began for me? And you can't. You can't figure it out when that stage started. But it started with your love of the woods. When did you start going out? I grew up, my father was an outdoorsman. He was a hunter. And I guess it started for me by my father missing all of my birthdays. I was born on November 22nd in the heart of rifle deer season here in New York State. And I remember my father, I think, always had a certain guilt about it, and he'd say, we'll celebrate on Monday, or we'll celebrate when I come back. And I was fine with that because I got it. Deer hunting was something that was that important. You miss the actual day of your birthday, your son's birthday, who cares? You're going to celebrate it with him. My father always showed his love and my birthday, and it was a big deal, and we got cakes. But I remember every birthday, my father just about was never home. He was out hunting, and it was really joyous for me. I couldn't wait for the evening phone call. Him and my uncle would always go upstate to the property we had in Barryville. They had in Barryville, New York. And I couldn't wait for the phone to ring at 7 o'clock every night. I knew they were out of the woods. And my mom would put me on the phone. And I'd say, did you get one? No, I didn't get one today. I didn't even see anything. I was in the tree all day. You know where the ravine is. And he would explain the whole hunt of not seeing anything. And I loved it. And then I would hang up, and I couldn't wait for the next day's call. You know, he'd be gone 4 or 5 days hunting or whatever it might be, his little trip he used to do. And I couldn't wait for 7 o'clock the next evening when he would call. And then, you know, the times where he called and said, yeah, I got one. I got a doe. It was a joyous. I couldn't wait. You're bringing it home, right? When's it going to be here? I couldn't wait to help him pull it off the car, hang it in the garage. I remember, you know, my father and his friends and my uncle, skinning and processing the whole deer. And it was an event. It was a holiday for me. And that's when, you know, stage one started for me. I was probably 5 years old, 6, 7 years old. And then it progressed, you know, and then stage one takes a while. You're young. I couldn't even legally carry a gun. You know, my father taught me how to shoot with a 22, a single load 22. And, I learned how to shoot, and that was part of stage one. And I got into fishing, you know, and we used to go out trout fishing and just being in the outdoors. And that progressed into, hey, come up with us on our summer scouts of the hunting property. And then we used to go up there and camp out and scout for deer. And I learned about deer trails and droppings and their tendencies in the summer. And, you know, it's really your exposure and education into the hunting world that gets you into stage one. And then, you know, I guess, I think you have to be 16 to legally hunt in New York State. I wasn't quite 16, and you know, I was probably 12, between 12 and 14. Can't really remember exactly, but it was time. Now I could handle a 308, even though New York State said I couldn't hunt. My father had tags, and he was fine with saying to me, you know, if you shoot something, we'll put it on my tag. I won't use my tag. And that's when I really, you know, graduated from stage one. I hadn't even really killed anything yet, but just now I've completed this journey. Now it's time to start killing animals. And for me, that's when I progressed into stage two. I still remember my first ever hunt. My father opened his bag. I was wearing hand-me-down hunting gear, you know, stuff my father had. And I remember getting dressed in that morning in the dark of a cabin and thinking, oh my God, I'm wearing too much stuff. He can't make me put anything else on. And then he threw something else at me. Put this on, layer this on. And, you know, I was like that kid from A Christmas Story, is it? Yeah, where he falls down in the snow and he can't move, you know, with his arms were out. That's how I felt. And we sat in the car and we drove to the hunting property and I was sweating in all this gear. And we walked to the tree stand and, you know, my father said, all right, I'm going to wait under here, climb up. And I remember fearing for my life. You know, it was one of those rickety old tree stands and the boards were moving and I was kind of climbing up and I couldn't move because I had four inches of hunting clothing on. And, you know, but finally making it to tree stand, hoisting my rifle up, it was great. I missed my first deer that day. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I was young. I fell asleep at some point. I had my head down on the gun rest. And I remember waking up to deer under my tree stand. There was probably 10 deer just hanging out. And I guess as I woke up, I heard something. I hit something in the tree stand. I hit metal. And they just took off in every angle. And I grabbed the rifle. I stood up. And I'm just scanning now. And I'm seeing whitetails just floating away. And one deer, I think I remember it being a spikehorn, was probably about 50 yards out. And I remember it turned broadside and it was looking back at me. And it was saying, what the hell made that noise, you know? And I fired. And I just remember praying that I hit it. I don't even remember my point of aim. I just fired at it. And my father wasn't hunting far from me. He was up the road, and it's before cell phones and all that. So he jumped out of his tree stand. Eventually, within a half hour or so, he was down. He said, what happened? I said, oh, I didn't tell him the whole story. I was sleeping, woke up. There were deer everywhere. I said, oh, I had the spike on at 50 yards. I'm not sure if I hit it. And he said, where? And I pointed to the tree, and I said, see that big tree over there? He was right in front of that. And my father went out there, and I saw him looking around and circling, and he looked at the tree, and then he came back. He said, I think you missed. I don't see anything. I don't see any blood. I don't see any hair. I don't see anything. And I thought, okay, that was a bad job by me. I got to get better at this. I got to be more mature. But that was, I think, my graduation into stage two, the limiting out stage. And then, you know, I eventually got my own license, started progressing, got my first rifle kill, eventually getting into archery, got my first archery kill, and then, you know, started harvesting deer. You know, I've had years where I had three or four deer on the ground. It was wonderful, and I thought that was it. I thought I had reached the epitome of my hunting career. You know, I didn't have enough freezer space. I had to go buy another freezer. How successful can I be as a hunter? But then realized, you know, and again, it wasn't something that snapped overnight, but I started realizing, wow, you're letting a lot of deer walk. Or you know, I was probably talking to someone, and they said, how'd you do today? Oh, man, I let 10 doe walk in front of me. I was waiting for that big buck, and that's the trophy stage. That's when you are confident as a hunter that those deer that you're letting walk by are just going to lead to the bigger one, the bigger trophy. And that was a good feeling for me, knowing I'm in this stage now where it's not. Now I'm starting to progress to the point where it's not about killing every time you're out there. It's about doing something good for the herd, maybe taking out a certain deer, a doe, a lesser buck, or waiting on the trophy for those bigger trophy deer to come through. That was a big step for me. And it happened, it was funny because it happened really quick. I remember like going from, you know, the limiting out stage right into the trophy stage. It probably happened overnight. Like one year I got four deer, the next year I got one and I was fine with it. It wasn't a big deal anymore. I kind of graduated right out of that phase. And then, You know, then things started evolving in the industry. I don't know if it was more me or the industry, but, you know, ScentLock started coming out and all these tools for the hunter. And I started getting into calling deer and my scent proofing regime I would do every day. And really, this is the method stage. This is where you become a hunter. And I was more about identifying the movements of the deer and kind of I started, you know, looking at maps and Google and trying to find ravines and natural flow areas for where I thought the deer would go. And it became more of a mission. It was like a military planning mission. I would start at the beginning. Where are the deer going to be? What time are they going to be there? How am I going to get there silently and surprise them? Looking at it, I didn't even know it was a stage really until I told you, I started reading about it. But yeah, and I don't think you ever really leave the method stage at all. You're kind of, the method stage is kind of the whole thing. It's the process of hunting. And, you know, it helped me refine how I pursue deer, you know. And it's funny because now we all have iPhones, all these phones with cameras, right? And I have so many pictures of animals. Say I could be a wildlife photographer. I take more pictures of deer in my tree stand than I do shoot them, you know. But it goes to show, you know, I know where they're going to be. I know what time they're going to appear. I know, you know, we pattern the deer. And along this journey, you know, I evolved from rifle hunting into bow hunting. It just became more of a challenge. I wanted, you know, I didn't need, you know, my machine gun out there to mow down 30 deer anymore. I needed, you know, to take the challenge of an archery hunt. You know, I don't think you ever really leave stage four, the method stage. I'm still in that. But I have reached full enlightenment in my life, in my hunting life. I am a sportsman. I know I am. And it's not an arrogant thing. Some of you guys are. I know a lot of you. You are. And I know a lot of you guys that aren't. My man the other day, I had just gotten to our clubhouse at our hunting property. And a buddy of mine, I hadn't seen him in like 2 years. He's in the club, but I hadn't run into him, and he pulled in. I said, "Hey, well, look at this." And I could see something was wrong. I said, "What's going on? How'd you do?" "Oh, man, I took a bad shot on a big, big deer. I hit it way back." He started telling me the whole story. And I remember thinking, look at you. You're the old man of the woods now. You got to lay out. I said, first of all, if you're not missing, you're not hunting enough. So get your head straight. Now you have a responsibility to the community and to that animal to find it. I said, but don't go back there right now. You wounded it. Let it rest. Let it bleed out. Let it. I was giving all this old timer advice to this guy who's probably, he maybe is 10 years younger than me. He's an adult. He's a man. And I remember just getting back to my car and getting my gear on. And I was like, wow, you are the old man of the woods now. Look at you giving out all this advice. And, you know, he sent me a picture of the deer a couple hours later. Midnight that night, I heard my phone boop, boop. And he had found it, and he took my advice. He didn't go to the area, and they eventually got a dog in, and they found it. It's the sportsman stage is where you feel like you've seen it all, or you've done it all. So everything that could happen to a hunter has happened to you. You've been trapped in your tree stand by deer. I've had that happen. You know, I don't see a deer all day, and then it's getting dark, I lose shooting light, and there's 10 deer standing under my tree stand that I hear, but I can't see them. I can see the outline, and what do? You sit down and you enjoy the noise of these deer prancing around. You can't climb out and blow your tree stand, right? You know, you lose a deer. On the negative side, a deer gets away from you. You wound a deer. Don't lie to me either. Don't lie. If you're an archery hunter, it's happened to you. I've talked to some of the best archery hunters in the world. It happens. A bad shot happens. Mechanical failure happens. Weather, a twig gets in the way. You've all done it. You've all shot a deer and you've lost it. It's not something we aspire to, obviously. It's not something we want. It's something we work really hard through practice and discipline not having happen. But that has to happen to an archery hunter at some point for you to advance into stage five. So that's happened. All of these negative things have happened and all the positive things have happened to you. And now you are enlightened. You are at stage five. It's wonderful to be in this stage. It's when you want to pass it on. And I see that through just guys in my club. More importantly, my son. you know, I can't wait for him. He's nine. He's an excellent shot. It's funny watching him because he's me. He's coming up, and he has a love of it, and I can't wait to just see his progression through these five stages and see where he is. You know, he's in stage one. He's getting there. He's shooting. He's out in the woods. He can't be at our hunting property upstate enough, running around. I'm going to take him out. His mother doesn't know this yet, but we're going out after Thanksgiving. We're going to eat some turkey, wake up at 3 a.m, and I'm going to drag him out to the woods. You know, and to me, it's at this point, like I said, it's not about killing. It's the journey. And I'm fortunate. You know, I'm 45 years old. I'm young, but I've lived long enough. And I've been through it where I've experienced it. And it's really, hunting has been just an incredible journey for me so far. And, you know, I hate to sound negative, but if it all ended right now, Jack, if I died, I'd be okay. I did it. And you know what? I have goals still. I want to hunt Alaska. I want to hunt a brown bear in Alaska with archery equipment. I have some things I still want to do. But really, just driving out to the Hamptons, getting in my tree stand, and watching the squirrels, you know, fight with each other. It's all I need, and that's the proof that I have that I'm in the sportsman stage. It's all that matters anymore. When I go out this Wednesday, my first hunt of this week, I have no pressure. I have no need to actually kill an animal on Wednesday. If it happens, it's a joyous occasion. If it doesn't, it's a joyous occasion. All right. Look at that. I hope this helps you, outdoorsmen. I hope you non-hunters, you know, kind of appreciate hunters more now, understanding we have a vision for what we do. And I hope it just frames out, you know, the life of an outdoorsman or a hunter. And hopefully you have a better understanding of what we do as outdoorsmen. But unfortunately, that's all the time we have today. I'd like to thank my man Jack for producing and engineering today's show. You can find the archived episodes of the Wild Game Domain from the Hunt to the Hearth on heritageradionetwork.org. And remember, if you kill it, you better eat it. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.